So in the concept trial, one of our goals was to really do the first randomized placebo-controlled study of calcium magnesium in prevention of oxaliplatin neurotoxicity. And the second thing was, how can we improve the time to treatment failure? So we already knew that there was a whole schedule issue with oxaliplatin from Amory de Gramont's work in the Optimox study. So in the Optimox study, he said, well, what we'll do is we'll just give a high dose of oxaliplatin for 6 cycles, and then we'll stop the oxaliplatin and give it back when patients start to progress again. And in that study, the Optimox 1 study from his cooperative group in France, they showed that, in fact, the response rate and the time to progression was the same either way, and there was much less neurotoxicity with the interrupted, the Optimox approach. However, most of the patients in that study did not get oxaliplatin again. They kind of didn't understand it, or the doctors forgot by the time it came around to progressing. They just switched regimens, whatever. So, in fact, most patients did not get reintroduced, and Dr. de Gramont always says the study would be much better if people had gotten oxaliplatin again. So what we did in the concept study was to say, okay, we're going to use the conventional dose of oxaliplatin, but we'll give it in 4-month blocks. And especially when we add bevacizumab, we expect that patients will not progress in the intermediate 4 months where they are not getting oxaliplatin. And in fact, nobody did. In our study, nobody did.
And was the 5-FU continued?
Yes, 5-FU and bevacizumab was continued. We just stopped the oxaliplatin for 4 months. So you got 4 months of FOLFOX with bevacizumab, and then 4 months of 5-FU with bevacizumab, and then you automatically restarted the oxaliplatin again at the 8th month. So we originally were going to have 570 patients in a 2-by-2 trial, and turned out the accrual was kind of slow, and most doctors really did not think we should give a randomized study of calcium magnesium because they all knew it worked. And we were accruing slowly. So we amended the protocol after 120 patients and said everybody would get calcium magnesium, and then there would be only one randomization to the intermittent or the continuous oxaliplatin. And what happened after 20 more patients were enrolled, so we got up to 140 patients then, the independent data monitoring committee took a look at the data. And they got reports from the CRO that was managing the study of a lot of patients who had gotten unconfirmed responses. And they also had a lot of patients who had recently started calcium magnesium. So it looked as though there were fewer responses in the group that got calcium magnesium. I think it was more of a study analysis bias that showed that. So at that point, the IDMC said, stop the trial. Nobody can get calcium magnesium. It may interfere with response because it looks as though the response rate is lower for people who are getting calcium magnesium with FOLFOX bevacizumab. So the study was stopped, and lots of other studies were stopped. And the NCI sent out a letter, and we published the letter in JCO to tell everybody this is a potential problem. In the meantime, we got all the scans together and gave them to an independent radiology review committee, which independently, unblinded to treatment assignment and everything, went through and scored every scan as a response or not. And as we presented at the ASCO GI meeting last January, the response rate was actually equivalent or slightly better with calcium magnesium. The hazard ratio was 1.3, so, you know, there was really no effect of calcium magnesium on response. And then, furthermore, at ASCO this year, we showed that the time progression was much better. The hazard ratio was 0.6 with the intermittent schedule. So that, in fact, the time to treatment failure, which was the primary endpoint, instead of being about 4 months with continuous oxaliplatin, was over 6 months for the group that got the intermittent. And in terms of time to progression, it was even longer. The difference was 7 months versus 12 months. So with a very truncated study of only 140 patients, the effect was large enough that we could see a real effect on time to treatment failure and time to progression. So this was, I think, a very important study teaching us how to better use oxaliplatin to get the most benefit out of it.
So just to pick apart the two key points there, in terms of the issue of the possibility of the calcium magnesium affecting the anti-tumor effect, In retrospect, do you think there was maybe some other way to approach the data monitoring in this, or the way this was approached, that would have avoided? It wasn't just that the trial was stopped. It was like everybody immediately got concerned about using calcium and magnesium for a while. Do you think that looking back, there could have been something done to prevent that?
Well, we're going to do more of an analysis of that, and I think we'll have some more information on that coming out in the next couple months. We're going to really do a very complete analysis of what was available initially versus what the radiology review committee. I mean, I think that a more sophisticated analysis of exactly when people went on study and who had gotten enough assessments to be evaluable or not may have helped, but it may not have helped. I really can't say at this time. I think that there was a signal that there was something negative going on, and without making a lot of assumptions about how the data were analyzed and going into a lot of contortions, which a data monitoring committee can't really do, it just, you know, look of concern. So I hope we'll be able to come to a more substantial conclusion and perhaps report back to people what the real problem was and how we might avoid this in the future. I think that's the goal of everybody who was involved.